You're listening to James H. for Life, episode 17, Whole Life Insurance. What is it and what is it good for? Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to James H. for Life, your premier podcast for all things life, disability, and long-term care insurance related. So today we're going to have a conversation regarding whole life insurance. Again, this can be a controversial type of life insurance policy. Again, there's two main camps. I've addressed it in previous podcasts, but I'll just summarize it real quick. Some people say only buy term and invest the rest, and any kind of permanent insurance is garbage. Other people say the exact opposite, only buy a permanent policy, term insurance is garbage. These opinions in most cases, I believe, stem from a misconception, a misunderstanding of the purpose of any life insurance policy. I mean, there's a reason why companies have both term and permanent policies, and some will immediately say, well, yeah, it's because the companies are greedy and this, that, and the other, and they're only out to make a buck. Okay, let's call a spade here for a moment. Every insurance company is out to make money. Insurance companies and banks are the best at making money because they just know how to do it, and they do it very well. However, that's any business. It's not isolated to banking and insurance. That's any business. So that's no surprise. So that's a moot point. Whole life insurance, however, you know, is often sold as, say, an investment, and that's where some people say, oh, it's a horrible policy, you could do so much better in the market. And I would agree. You know, if you're buying any life insurance policy as an investment, as in with investing being your primary objective, then you're going about things the wrong way. I mean, there are investment qualities that life insurance policies can have. But first and foremost, they're going to operate as a life insurance policy. Life insurance is all about risk management. So you can't take a risk management product and expect it to perform as an investment product when investment products inherently make you take on a degree of risk. So it just doesn't compute. So, I mean, that it's not about pitting the policies against one another. It's about which type of policy best meets your particular plan and objective. So with that being said, let's get into a little bit about whole life insurance, what it is. What are some things that you generally get with these types of policies? And at the end of the day, what are they good for? Why would you want to consider them? So let's look at this. So whole life insurance is the most guaranteed life insurance policy that you can purchase. All right. As long as you're paying the premium like you're supposed to, you're guaranteeing, the company is guaranteeing the fact that you're going to have this policy pay out when you die. So as long as you're paying your premium, the policy will be there no matter what. That's a guarantee that the company puts on your whole life insurance policy, because there are two different types of permanent policies. You can get a guaranteed contract and a non-guaranteed contract. I'll go over that more in depth in another podcast. But essentially, whole life insurance, it's a guaranteed contract, and you know, it's the policy that I tell my clients, you can buy it, pay for it, put it on the shelf and forget about it. And then when the day comes that you pass away, it's going to be there, and your loved ones are going to receive that death benefit. The other thing about the guaranteed contracts is, you know, when you're putting your hard-earned money into a whole life policy, that hard-earned money is going to eventually go towards your loved ones. It's not something that you have to guess about. That's why it's a guaranteed contract. Now, with whole life insurance, the most notable feature, of course, is going to be that it's designed to cover you for your entire life. Whole life insurance, you know, is designed so that you will not outlive the policy, and your beneficiaries are getting the death benefit. That, of course, is the first and foremost benefit of a whole life contract. Outside of that, You know, yes, they have the ability to build the cash value that everybody always hears about and asks questions about. Can you borrow against your cash value? Yes. Can you take loans against it? Yes. Can you just straight up withdraw it? Yes. Okay. So yeah, it's there. And it will accumulate in a whole life policy. There are guaranteed numbers specifically on a whole life contract that will say no matter what, your cash value will grow by at least this much. And on an illustration, it'll show you every single policy year what your cash value will be. And you'll notice that no matter what, the cash value, as long as there's no withdrawals or anything, is always increasing. So there is that function to it. The insurance company will generally pay a guaranteed percentage into the cash value every single year for the premium that you're paying. Typically, whole life contracts will grow anywhere between 2 and 4%. And that's just by design. It's a very conservative policy, so it's going to have a very conservative interest rate growth. When you look at an illustration on a whole life policy, you'll have the guaranteed numbers in one column, and then you'll have the non-guaranteed numbers in another column. And what the non-guaranteed numbers simply means is that's what they're projecting the policy to grow as. Under current assumptions. So they're taking current company profitability and future expected profitability, and they're just working it out, saying, you know, it's basically as long as everything stays as it is and we don't hit any hard times or anything like that, you can expect these numbers to be your estimated cash value, policy values, and stuff moving forward. So that's the difference there. So benefit number one, coverage for your entire life. You'll never outlive it. Benefit number two, cash value, no matter what, will grow at least a minimum stated rate. And you can see that spelled out for you in an illustration. Now, outside of those two benefits, there are a couple other options that go with whole life insurance that other contracts do not offer. Universal life insurance usually does not offer all of these options we're about to get into. Whole life is that. This is why I say whole life insurance is the most guaranteed product that you can buy, because it does have, you know, multiple layers of guarantees and multiple ways the policy can pay out to the insured. And any reasonable person would say, well, if this policy has, more ways that the insurance company can lose money, then they definitely are going to charge you more for a whole life policy than they would, say, a term insurance policy or a non-guaranteed permanent policy, because the company is putting a stake in the risk here, saying that the company is assuming some of the risk that they can not only lose money because you withdraw from the cash value, they can lose money because they're guaranteeing the death benefit, and they can also lose money because they're going to give you several surrender options that can also still put them on the line to lose money either immediately or in the future. So let's get into a little bit about some of the surrender options. But before we do that, we're going to take just a real quick break. We'll come back, we'll go over surrender options, and we'll also talk about what a participating policy is, and we'll go from there. So you're listening to James H for Life. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to James H for Life. So we're getting into the whole life insurance surrender options that are most commonly available. This is one of those areas where it can vary from company to company. Some companies may offer all of these options. Some may only offer a couple of them. Not that any of that is bad, because you're not buying a whole life contract for the surrender options. That's just silly. It's just a good thing for you to know and understand of what's out there and a little bit of how they work. So surrender options, I explain it to my clients as they're multiple exit strategies that you can utilize moving forward. Like, let's just say if in 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more, Something happens, something changes in your financial plan, and either you can't afford the payments any longer, or you don't need the policy any longer, or let's just say you just don't want it, and maybe you need a quick shot of cash of something. Things are, you know, things have just changed. Well, there's several ways you can go about ending a whole life contract. So, number one is you can just straight up surrender the policy. And by surrendering the policy, I call this the take the money and run option. And what this would do is any cash value that you have would be given to you less any surrender charges that might still be in effect. So a quick word on the surrender charges. With any company, with any permanent policy, typically the first 3 years of the contract, you're either not going to have any cash value or very little. I mean, if you're someone that's dumping $10,000 a year into a policy, you'll usually have a little bit of cash value, but not much. So that's how the cash value works the first couple of years. So if you surrender within the first 3 years, regardless of a surrender charge, you're really not going to get any money. Number two, on the surrender charge, for the first 20 years, a policy can have a surrender penalty, and the less time you have held on to the contract, the steeper that penalty will be. So, for example, typically, within the first 10 years or so, it could be. Just throwing an example, the charges can vary from company to company. Let's say it's a 10% charge, you know, within the first 10 years. Maybe up to year five, it's a 20% charge. But then, you know, so basically what that means is if you surrendered at year five, 20% of whatever your cash value is would essentially be held by the company and you would receive the difference, if any. So there's that. The other thing is, once you get beyond 10 years, then the surrender charges start dropping rather significantly. And by year 20, they're gone. Some companies can have surrender charges end earlier than 20 years. Many will keep some form of a charge on there between year 15 and 20. But by that point, they're usually pretty minimal and the cash value has accrued enough so that there would at least be something that you could receive. So that's the first option there on surrender. If you have any further questions on that, if you have a current policy and you're considering that, you want to contact your company and ask them for a surrender quote, and they can go over in more detail with you how exactly that would work. The second option, it's called the reduced paid up option. What this means is you would simply stop making payments on your whole life contract and you would utilize this option. And what that would do is it would give you a guaranteed amount of coverage for the rest of your life. And it's strictly based on how much money you have paid into the contract. So let's just say in order to be eligible, you buy a $100,000 policy. And over the life of the contract, you have to pay $10,000 in it in order to get the full death benefit when you die if you used the reduced paid-up option. Let's just say you've had it for 15 years and you've paid $5,000, you know, into it, long and short. You do the reduced paid-up option. You'd have $50,000 in death benefit for the rest of your life that you never have to put another penny into. And when you die, the company will pay out $50,000 as opposed to the $100,000 that you originally asked for. Now, not to say that that's exactly how it works computationally, but just for the concept of how it would work, you know, that's what you're looking at. And again, you know, the company that you have a policy with, they can go over with you, okay, you've paid this much money into the contract, so that makes you eligible for this much in a reduced benefit, you know, and they can go over all of that with you. But the point is, the more you pay into the contract, the more death benefit you will have if you were to surrender the policy in this fashion. And then the final option Generally is you can take whatever cash values in the policy, and sometimes you can do it's called an extended term option. What that means is they just take your policy and all the cash value, and they utilize that to convert it into a term policy. And based off of your underwriting and age and how much money's in the contract and different things like that, essentially you convert your whole life into a term. You buy yourself maybe a little extra time to have coverage without putting another penny into the policy. And then, you know, once that the new term, the new extended term expires, then you no longer have any coverage. That's not an option I see too much nowadays. It may have fallen out of favor with a lot of companies, but, you know, it's still out there. It's still an option, you know, and your company may or may not offer it. So those are the surrender options that come with whole life insurance. And a company may offer one, may offer all three, or, you know, it really is up to each individual company. But again, you're not buying a whole life contract for the surrender options, because again, that would be silly. The last thing I wanted to discuss with you before I let you go today is what exactly is a participating policy? So with many companies, whole life insurance is a participating policy. And think of it like this. So you guys are probably aware of maybe different types of contracts where if you buy it from a company, maybe every single year you receive some sort of, say, maybe dividend or something. For example, I know that here in New Jersey Manufacturers, I believe, is still a mutual fund structured type company. So what that means is for their home and auto clients, if they have a policy with NJM, every year they receive some form of a dividend, and the dividend is based off of company profitability, blah, blah, blah. Well, in a similar manner, a participating policy does something very similar, whether it's a mutual or a stock company. Stock companies, for legal reasons, they call them credits. Mutual companies, they'll call them dividends. Based on company profitability, they offer a credit of some sort to all of their participating policies. And with whole life insurance, when these are issued, now these are not something that the company has to issue on for any given reason. It's just something that, you know, they can, and they generally do if they're a historically profitable company. And what'll happen is with those, credits or dividends, they can be used in the life insurance policy in a couple of different fashions. I'll highlight two. One is called purchasing paid up additions, which means any money that the company pays towards these participating policies every single year can be used to purchase additional death benefit for you without having to go through any additional underwriting. It's just a feature of the policy that the death benefit, quote unquote, will grow. So as long as every single year you're throwing everything with these dividends or credits right back into the policy for the purchase paid up additions, your death benefit grows. And so you may have bought a $100,000 policy when you were 40 years old, let's say. By the time you hit your 70s or 80s, you could be looking at $130,000 in death benefit at no additional cost to you. So it's a nice little feature. So that's another way the company's putting themselves on the line to lose additional money. With that, the other option is if you pay your policy annually, you can actually have your credits go towards paying your yearly premium. So let's just say maybe you're not interested in having the additional death benefit, but you would like a break on how much you're paying into the contract. You can use your credits or dividends to be allocated to that. Now, normally they only do that if you pay the policy in one lump sum annually. However, it is an option that many companies do offer. So what do we do moving forward now? I mean, that's essentially how whole life insurance works, the benefits that it has. Moving forward, let's just answer the last question of the day. Why should you consider a whole life contract? One, if you have a need that is permanent in nature, something that's not going to go away no matter how much time passes, then whole life insurance is definitely one policy you should consider for your financial portfolio. Again, it's designed to cover you for your whole life. So if you're looking to take care of something such as burial costs, nobody knows when you're going to die, but everybody eventually dies. That's a permanent need. You need a permanent policy to manage that. The other options people buy whole life are for legacy planning. If you want to leave a guaranteed inheritance to your children, some people prefer whole life insurance as the means to do that, especially given all the extra benefits that whole life policies offer that others do not. It's not always a bad thing to consider. So there's that. So, I mean, you know, any kind of a permanent need, estate planning, you know, if you need a policy, if you're more affluent and you need something just to handle maybe any estate taxes that will be incurred upon your death, that's another great reason to include a whole life insurance contract into your portfolio. So essentially, if you have any type of need that is permanent in nature, then you definitely should consider a whole life contract. So with that, if you want some more information on a whole life policy, you can always reach out to me. You can email me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Or if you're listening to this on my blog at jameshforlife.com, you can fill out the form and submit it. And either myself or one of my agents will reach out to you. And we'd be more than happy just to have a more full conversation with you on your particular situation. And we can offer you quotes and see how we could assist you with that. So for more information, please check out the rest of my blog. I do have other articles on disability insurance and other different types of life insurance. And for if you'd like to speak to either myself or one of our agents, please contact us directly and we would be more than happy to assist you. You've been listening to James H. for Life, your premier podcast for all things life, disability, and long-term care insurance related. Have a great day.